the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by two on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front here.
Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembraugh.
Hey, that's me. Thanks a lot, Josh. And yes, the Joe Schott Hour is upon us here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are excited because Michigan Tech is back in action this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, against Huntsville for the first two games of the WCHA season. Coach, nice to have you with us. Merry Christmas. I hope you had a great weekend.
It was wonderful, Dirk. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Did you get a chance to spend some time with your lovely family?
I did. I had my son was up, which was fantastic. He's only been up here a few times, and it's great to see him. And my youngest daughter was back from grad school, so we had a lot of fun. It was relaxing. We watched some hockey. It's great to have the World Juniors on, things like that, and had a lot of fun. It was enjoyable. How about you?
Great, wonderful weekend as well. And you're right, the World Juniors, to me, it's just some of the most entertaining hockey to watch, even though it's not a big crowd thing with, packed stands usually, when some of these different countries are playing. But I love the style of play in the World Juniors, and I think a lot of other people do too.
Yeah, it's great hockey. It's the best 20 and under players in each country in the world. There's talk, I know there's a little bit of talk about it being that they maybe should shrink it down a little bit so that you don't get a couple of nights ago there was a lot of talk about the blowouts. There was a 17-2 Canadian win, I believe 11-0 U.S. win, a 7-1 Finland win, something like that, a couple of nights ago. And when you start getting, a touchdown extra point away from out of the game, there's a little bit of disparity there. So there's a little bit of talk about that people would like to see tighter games. But all in all, it's still great hockey, and those games don't help teams. As you saw yesterday, Canada had a tough game, I believe, against Slovakia,
yes.
3-1 game. It was 1-0 late. Canada scored, then the Slovaks scored late, and then I believe Canada got an empty netter. So that was a fun game to watch. I thought it was good, entertaining hockey.
Well, and you do get some of these international games. You do see some of the lopsided scores, like you mentioned. But you're right, usually not. That Canadian game over Germany was 16-2, and 11-0 U.S. over Austria, I believe it was. And it's just you hate to see that. But what is the solution to that? Just whittling it down to less teams?
Yeah, Germany's a little bit of a exception because they got hit with COVID, and they have a goaltender shortage issue. They played 9 forwards and I believe 4D, maybe 5D. So, and played the night before as well, against Canada the night before, but they had a tough game I know the night before, where they hung in there, but it wasn't Canada, it was somebody else. But
it was Finland, coach.
Yeah, and they hung in there a bit, and actually hung in pretty well into the third period, and then they just ran out of steam. And you can't bring in, you're not allowed to add to your roster during the tournament. What you have is what you have. There's a one or two reserves, and that's what you have. And so when you get into injuries and things like that, and especially in this COVID time, it's biting Germany a little bit. They're a better team than that for sure.
And this year a little different. Obviously, it's not taken away so much from the college teams as far as holiday tournaments. We always see one or two players from the GLI not being able to be there, and other tournaments that go around usually this time of year.
Yeah, and I do know there were one and possibly two players from the University of Michigan who went there and tested positive. And I believe they were false positives. I'm not 100% of that, but I think they were false positives. But they went there, and as soon as they tested positive at the preliminary, they were sent home immediately. And I believe it was two from the University of Michigan, so they got a couple of guys back. On top of that, Canada Powers from the Big D from Michigan, first round pick. He's a tremendous player. He didn't go to the Canada camp, I believe. So three guys that are normally there from Michigan aren't there, but I still believe they have three guys that are there, on various teams. So it's good. And we get to see a lot of players. There's a lot of college players on the American team. The majority of them. I think there's possibly three major junior, a goaltender, and a couple others. And other than that, it's all college players that came primarily through the development program. So we get to see those players on and off throughout the year.
So, Coach, as a rule, the World Junior Tournament shows off the skill aspect of the game. I mean, you will see some good games with some good hitting out there, too. But as a rule, it's a skill game. Do you wish more of that would trickle up into the NHL, or do you like the way the whole progress of the levels go right now?
I'm not completely sure you're asking, but I like the way it is right now. You know, the big thing with the World Junior team for the United States is I believe it was probably about 1996 or 97. It was that Olympic cycle, maybe 96, when the Olympic Committee decided to allow professional athletes to play in the Olympics. So the Olympics lost, in my opinion, that's where it lost a little bit of a luster, because you have, you know, you're basically having a World Cup. You have the Olympic players, all the best players in the world, playing for their, you know, playing with their respective countries. And that was in 96-97, when they started letting Gretzky and Lemieux and all those guys go into the Olympics. I thought it was really unique before that. People will never understand the dynamic that the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 team, actually was, because in essence they were playing against the top players in Russia with really a bunch of college players. Aruzioni, maybe one other one, wasn't a college player. You know, they were at one time, but ended up, and then went and played a few years of pro hockey, minor pro hockey. But it was basically a college team that went and won the gold medal. That people don't understand that. The younger people don't, and I think they know it, but they don't really get the full gist of what the dynamic and the real miracle that was to go and play against the top Russian players in the world and beat them. That was a huge deal. But at that time, what happened is when they went to pros in the NHL, USA Hockey, their pinnacle, what they put all their, you know, their high dollar revenues and everything were in the Olympic team, because USA Hockey picked the Olympic team, ran the Olympic team, selected the coaches, did everything on it. That when the NHL got involved, that was no longer the case. The NHL is what dictated that, NHL coaches, NHL players. And so USA Hockey said, okay, we have to hang all of our accolades on something. What's it going to be? And it was the World Junior Program. And so what they did at that time is that's when they started the National Team Development Program. Jeff Jackson, who's a good friend of mine, was coach at Lake Superior at the time, was picked to run that program and be the first coach of the World Junior team within that new cycle of how they were doing things. And the top revenue and everything got put into the National Team Development Program, which was pulling out the top 16 and 17 year old kids in the country and having them house together and do everything, because the main thing, I know when Jeff got that job, his the only item in his job description was medal at the World Juniors. The job was to medal, because the U.S. was really a sixth-ranked team or so at that time, with Russia and Canada, Finland, Sweden, all those teams being above them traditionally. I don't even know if the U.S. had ever even medaled prior to that at the World Junior Tournaments. Now, since then, they've won several golds and things like that, silvers and bronzes, and medaled virtually every year. But that's really the history of it. So now the World Juniors is really the pinnacle of USA Hockey. There's millions of dollars invested in these athletes from the development program, and that's when the dynamic changed. That's when the U.S. started becoming a power at that level, when they changed all of junior hockey and everything and pulled those players out of junior hockey and out of midget hockey and put them all living together, training together at that time at Ann Arbor, and now they do it in the Detroit area.
Joe Sean is with us on the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. I was going to wait to get to this a little bit later on in the show, but we're getting several emails in already, Coach, asking you to talk about the new ad for the Michigan Tech roster. Tristan Ashbrook, eligible to play right away. Talk a little bit about that player who comes in as a sophomore from RPI and hopefully will add to this roster in a good way.
He will. He's here right now. Our players are back. Everybody's back, and he gives us a little bit of what we really needed in a couple of ways. He adds to our depth. He's a compete type of a player. He plays a hard compete type of a game. A Misiak type player, if you will. Has a decent degree of skill, more of a scorer than a setup man. Had 9 goals, I believe, last year for RPI, and that's characteristic where he usually gets more goals than assists because of his nose for the net. He drives to the net and likes to be in those traffic areas. Good skater. He's from Manistique, Michigan. He's a player that we recruited in the past, in all honesty, and when he got the offer from RPI, it was early, it was a couple of years ago. We were in, I believe, our second year here, maybe our first year here, where I was the head coach, and we were still trying to get control of our roster, to get that under control, get our numbers under control, get our commitments under control, get everything worked out. So I actually told Tristan at the time, take the offer because I can't commit to the dollars right now that they're offering you. And he took it. And with all the changes, I think a big thing that happened at RPI is that they not only canceled hockey for the year, but they didn't bring maybe all their students, but at least his class, were not brought back to campus. Everything was done remote. And if they were to go to campus, they had no access to the building, to the training facilities, to ice. So it was basically kind of a year where they weren't able to grow at all as athletes, at least in the traditional way. They would have to find their own way to really do that. And you've seen a lot of really good players from those teams transfer. Jackson Ivany, a young defenseman that we really went after hard from the LA Junior Kings a few years ago, who ended up going to Yale, just left Yale, and he's going to Boston College. He'll finish here at Boston College. We're in on the captain from Cornell, and I believe he just went to Vermont, stayed out east. Those guys all stayed out east. They wanted to stay within the conferences primarily they were in. But we were able to get Tristan to come here. He's a centerman, right-handed centerman. He adds to both our balance on the right-hand side, and he adds to our depth increases our depth at the center ice position, a true centerman, which we needed. And he also can play the wing should we need it, if we run into grade issues, injury issues, COVID issues, whatever. So he adds depth and experience to those areas for us and is going to be a really good addition to our team, and he'll be with us after this year for another 3 years.
That's very exciting. And, how long does something like this take to happen, Coach? I mean, can you give us an idea, or is that something you don't want to talk about as far as when, the first conversations were made?
No, I'm fine with it. He went on the portal, and we saw him, and we're really watching the portal. Now, a lot of these deals are already done when a player goes onto the transfer portal. As you know, we've had that happen to us, but this one wasn't. I contacted his coach at RPI, and asked, before we talked to Tristan, asked if he was available or what was going on. It's a hard conversation. I've been through those conversations with players that were leaving our team. It was hard. It's awkward to make the call. It was a really good conversation with the coach, but just to make the call because you're asking a couple things. What do you think of him? Like, is there a reason that he's leaving there in particular? And then the other side of it is his eligibility status. Is he available and is he committed? And that's really the primary thing. Okay, he's leaving you. We haven't talked to him. Is he already locked in, which is so often the case with agents and everything. When they go on the portal, it's a done deal. By that time, they're already going someplace else. Where they're going is already made up. And as far as they knew he wasn't, we got the blessing to give him a call. It's an unfortunate situation for their staff as well that they can't work in any way with their players to do anything with them to make them better. They're vulnerable right now for sure. The Ivy League schools are vulnerable for sure. And so we initiated a phone call, and it was able to work out. He was offered scholarships with some other teams, and we were able to win that battle probably because, well, for two things. He has a pedigree here. He's got... he's a legacy type player. He has a sister that graduated here. He has a parent that graduated from here with a master's. So he's familiar with this area. And then he's from Manistique, is a youper type of a kid that loves to hunt and fish and things like that. And we had recruited him before and had a bit of a relationship with him before I did personally. So all those things, I think, played in and made that process a little bit easier for us.
Well, that it'll be exciting. And not to put you on the spot, but do you foresee him playing this weekend already, coach, or what?
You know, that's a good call. We're skating right now. We just actually got off the ice. We had a really good skate this morning. The mood is really good. Where we do have a little bit of an opening right now is potentially that Logan Ganey hasn't played in a few weeks and probably 3 weeks with his concussion, things like that. So there is that opportunity there. We're going to go through, I'm going to meet with him today and do some video and walk through our systems and things. And then we'll see how he looks, how he fits into that and understands that. But, there's a chance. If he's able, if everything comes through or Reese says he's good to go, which I believe that's the case, then we'll, you know, there's a good chance that we'll get him in. If nothing else, as an extra forward.
Is conditioning for him at all a concern coming in, coach?
You know what? He seems to be okay, and we had a couple of skates. He seems to be okay right now with regards to that. Right, it's fitting in with the guys and getting comfortable and things like that right now. But that doesn't look to be an issue. He's the type of kid that's a really hardworking, dedicated, committed student athlete. He was an all academic player in the ECAC his freshman year. So he's a tremendous student athlete. And he seems to have some pretty good legs. He's done everything he could to get on the ice and get skates in and then be in the weight room and things like that. So he might hit a wall here at some point. But right now, he actually looks pretty good.
Very exciting. All right, coach, we're looking forward to watching him on the ice. So let's take a break. You're tuned to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. If you are listening live here on Monday morning, you can email your questions in, dj@themix93.com. We'll preview the upcoming series against Huntsville in just a little bit. Joe Schott Hour continues after these.
If your job situation is changing because of layoffs or closures, you may have to make several decisions. One important decision may be what to do with your retirement plan. Make sure your retirement stays on track. We're nearing the end of 2020, but you've still got time to make some year-end financial moves. I'm John Nelson, a certified financial planner with Edward Jones. I'd like to help. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
This is pop music, mixed by one DJ and one can of truly hard seltzer. Truly, with just 1 gram of sugar and 16 flavors, it's music to your taste buds. No cans were harmed in the making of this ad. Except that one. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Mass. Please drink responsibly.
This Christmas, experience Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters and on HBO Max the exact same day. Streaming at no extra cost to HBO Max subscribers. Plus, with HBO Max, stream the greatest collection of series, movies, and exclusive Max originals all in one place. The Undoing, The Flight Attendant, and more. Go to HBOMax.com or download the app to sign up and start streaming today. Wonder Woman 1984 is rated PG-13 and is available to stream on HBO Max for 31 days from theatrical premiere.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck, so you ordered the essentials: a power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition: a bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach is with us on this 28th day of December, and Michigan Tech taking on Huntsville this weekend in conference play. And, you know, these games leading up to this, coach, have obviously been very important, but now they become even more important as we get the league schedule underway, and it should be a great weekend of hockey.
Yeah, I'm excited to play. We were really starting to hit our stride going into the break. It's you know, starting to get the look that we thought that we'd have, we'd hope we had. I believe we won three straight going in, and so I'm excited to get going. Huntsville's played teams hard. They're playing with I wouldn't say a chip. I think that's a strong word, but they're playing with motivation for sure. Kind of feeling like they're probably left out of the league as of right now, moving forward with the new league starting next year and things like that. So they're playing with a little bit more determination, things like that, which is good. Anything that can be done to make the games great hockey games and make us get better, we're always playing for the end. We're always playing to be our best when the playoffs come. We'd like to have success here. It's important that we have success and get out of the gate early. But every game is in a 14-game league schedule, every game's important, especially when COVID and things are going to dictate, not true points determining the league champion, but playoff positioning and things like that, but actual percentage points. So we never know if we're going to get hit with a bug or an opponent's going to get hit with a bug and we're not going to be able to get games in. So every game that you can get in is extremely important. Right now we've all tested good on our return or tested well. Everybody's negative right now, staff and players included. So we're ready to go as of right now heading into the weekend.
Well, you got to tip your hat to Coach Lance West and everything that they've been able to do down there, recovering the program and moving on for this season, just to be able to do what they've been able to do so far, I think says a lot about the character of him and that program and what they want to be for sure. And Lord knows they have given Michigan Tech hockey fits over the past few years. And last year, we split down there. We lost by a score of 3-1 with an empty net goal. And I know that was frustrating for us after Mark Sinclair. I mean, he played pretty good against us, didn't he, Coach?
Well, he played great. And then the first night, if you recall, I think we won 4-1, but we were being shut out through the first two periods and scored four in the third. We erupted in the third. So the next night we thought, okay, we'll come out. We got this figured out, and we didn't. They came out and they beat us 3-1 with an empty netter late. So and that took us from something like 11th to 22 in the pairwise.
Yeah.
We were sitting pretty well coming off of the just a week or two earlier, a couple weeks earlier, coming off of the GLI championship. So we were moving in the right direction. So we're extremely excited, but to me, every game is the same. We go into it. They have meaning. Some have a little bit more meaning than the others. Some bring a little bit more emotion than the others. But what we do is we prepare the same regardless and trying to get our team as prepared as possible to go out and have give us the best chance of winning. And that's really our focus as a staff.
Well, and you remember that, if you remember that loss last year, I think we were 0-7 on the power play, if I remember right, and we just couldn't get that power play going, which would have helped, obviously, in a tight game like that. But this is going to be a fun weekend of hockey. So we bring up Mark Sinclair's name here, Coach, and that begs the question, I guess, what are your thoughts on goaltending going into the weekend?
Well, we'll watch practice. But again, we have some really good players. Right now, as a matter of fact, one goaltender, that is the one player that didn't return right now, Caden Bailey, is home. He had a family situation at home. He'll be back around the 3rd or 4th of January. So we just have the two goaltenders here right now. But they're both top-notch goaltenders. I mean, either one of them can play. Blake has sure done a great job. He's been player of the week. I'd be surprised if he doesn't earn player of the month, within the league, but as far as goaltending, but stranger things have happened. But again, we're not playing for awards, but he's been tremendous in the nets. We want to get Mark back in there as well, because when you watch practice, there's really not a tremendous amount of difference. So it'd be good to get them each a game in, but I'll talk to Jamie, and a lot of that comes down to just a good collaboration and talk between Jamie and I. And then we'll make decisions moving forward from there.
Well, since you brought him up, that is one of our questions from our listeners today, Coach, is how much weight does Jamie's opinion now have on you game to game as far as goaltenders playing?
More than mine. in honesty, he's doing all the little extra work. He knows their mindset. He's very much like, you know, like I was when I was here with Mel. You know, I picked the goaltenders when I was here with Mel, and Jamie and I have good dialogue on it. And we've been exactly consistent on, and cohesive on what we wanted. We had a couple of tough decisions. You know, people ask, why didn't you play Blake, I believe, in after a win against Mankato and a good series against Mankato, and when we went to Bemidji, we came back with Mark, and that was something that was decided on by both Jamie and I, and we were both completely in agreement, much as after our intent was the first weekend at Lake State to give them each a game, but when Mark got a shutout through overtime in a nothing-nothing game against Lake State, you know, you're going to come back with him the next game, just like if the next weekend, you know, our thought would have been to split them there. But we got such a great job out of Blake on the 3-1 win over Mankato on the first night that we said, just like a week before, goalie plays that well and wins a game like that, we're going to give him we'll give him the next kick at the net and play him the next night as well, because you're trying to win hockey games. So, we've been in agreement on everything, and he has I trust him. I trust Jamie completely, and right now our brains are thinking alike.
So, Coach, this week as you prepare for Huntsville, are there any specific parts of the game that you're concerned with first in improving and getting those ready for this weekend, whether it be special teams, penalty kill, power play, whatever?
You know, our biggest area that we need to improve on is rush defense. We've given up the majority of our chances against, on rush defense. We did really well. We had a tremendous game on Saturday night at Northern. But still, the majority of their chances came on rush defense. So, that's the area we have to shore up and tweak we watched, as we talked this morning, as I was getting on the air, as soon as I got off the ice, Chris Brooks pulled out all our scoring chances for and against from the first half, and I was categorizing them and going through them to watch similarities and see, you know, just look for some tendencies where we can tighten that up. So that's the primary area that I want to focus on right now, and it's not happening on turnovers in our zone or things like that. It's happening on just breakouts where we don't have everybody picked up, or we have two guys going on the puck carrier, things like that, that we have to get sorted out and put some checks and balances in place so that we don't have redundant coverage until we have the play stopped, at least.
You mentioned last week on your show, Coach, the play of Chris Leip. What is it about him right now that's a little different from his freshman year that he's really kind of taken the reins there back on the blue line?
Well, he's a physical defenseman, and the thing is he's an effortless skater. He's like Colin Sawyer, and he's an effortless skater. So he could take away time and space. He can recover quickly. But really, just as equal to Leiper has been Bucks. Tyra Buckley has been absolutely tremendous for us. He's really given us a balance, a steadying left-handed, because we're so right-handed dominant on our blue line right now, a left-handed balance and steadying, you know, an anchor back there. He's done a great job. He's leading us in plus minus. So both those guys on top of, you know, the play we've gotten from our other guys. So, I think we've grown there where that was a deep concern, after the first couple weekends. It was a deep and growing concern to the point where we were talking about what do we have here that we can do, what's in the portal that we can look at, where we didn't panic and we just really went to work with them, and they went to work on their game, and we changed some things up in our practice schematic and things to really spend time with them, and it's paid off.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back with some questions from our listener, more questions from our listeners in just a little bit. It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours, as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Once upon a time, in a house not far from here, there lived a woman filled with holiday cheer. She was known for being the host with the most, with plenty of Coca-Cola for a holiday toast. This year, she knew there wouldn't be a crowd, but she got an idea, and she said it out loud. If I can't toast them in person, I'll send them a Coke. I'll share some cheer with my favorite folk. But at her doorstep, she was caught off guard. Her friends had sent a gift, including a card. So she reached inside and read the letter. Have a Coke, old friend, because together tastes better.
This holiday season, make sure you take time to say thank you to the people who've been there for you this year. And what better way to do that than sharing an ice-cold Coke? So take a moment to share a Coke with a family member, friend, a nurse, or maybe a neighbor, because sharing things brings us together. And no matter where we are or how we connect, we know together tastes better.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Michigan Tech taking on Huntsville this weekend. Game times are 4:07 on Saturday, 2:07 on Sunday. And I was just joking around earlier, Coach. It's like, who cares about these Friday-Saturday schedules, right? We've played one Friday game all season long so far, and there will be more of them, obviously. But it's just we're getting used to these odd start times for these games.
Yeah, you know what? They're actually for us. They're especially for the visiting team. They're much more enjoyable because you can get on the road. We went to Bemidji on, and I believe we played Saturday, Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And we were back Sunday night at midnight, quarter after 12, something like that. After I think it was a 2 o'clock in the afternoon start or something of that nature. So we played the game and we were back in a good time. Guys were back in their own bed. We didn't lose a day getting ready for Northern, where if you get back at 6 or 7 in the morning, you basically lose an entire day, just recovering in two days, and you're watching fatigue levels and things like that. But, it's good. I can see where Eastern teams, Hockey East and those teams, where they play a different, they might play home on Friday and away on Saturday or play away, really, I think Maine is really their only overnight stay when they're playing in Hockey East. Everything else is a quick drive to where they're going, and they're home in their own bed every night. So it's enjoyable for the team standpoint. It's probably not a, when the fans get back in the building, it's not a moneymaker probably type of endeavor that you can do. But it doesn't work against us right now.
Certainly changes the whole complexion of travel when you're not, having to have those late night returns back home. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And for me, and I think for the guys too, in talking to Trenton Bliss and a couple of other players during that Lake State series, they would rather have that second game earlier, so you're not waiting around all day for that that night game.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that. So we're going to do that this week. I believe the game times are 4 and 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I'm not positive on that. But I know that we altered them a little bit for a variety of reasons. And Lance West at Huntsville, he's just a classy guy. He's always been a good friend. And he's accommodating for us on that. And part of that is really a staff issue with us, so that with the staffing for a New Year's Day game and things like that, they can stick to a more normal staffing environment here. So it works out well. So we're going to play the Saturday Sunday game, and then we'll get ready and get ready to go to Mankato the following weekend for a couple of big games. So right out of the gate, every game is going to be important. Every game counts now. It has a double whammy to it with league points and record.
All right, Coach. A couple more questions coming in for you today. This is one that actually came really, really late last week, and so we held it over for this week. But with no fans allowed in the building, can you get more games on local TV?
Uh, You know what? I haven't discussed that. It's a good question because it's not coming out of your fan base. I don't know how that mechanism works. I don't know if that's a money maker or a money coster or a money neutral deal. Most things come down to finances in a lot of ways. So that's something I certainly bring up, and I'm sure that, but you know, the people that need to be listening are hearing this anyways at some point. So, but we'll certainly bring it up. I didn't even hear how it went, the ratings and everything, and how all that went with the Northern series. So it'd be good to, those would be good, a good discussion to have.
Next question for you, Coach, is do you believe we will begin the GLI tournament again next year?
Boy, I sure hope so. That would be right up at the top of the things I would not want to happen on my watch. Would be the elimination of the GLI. I hope it works out. I think a lot of things come into play, and again, it comes down to financing and I think team guarantees, and I believe that's why Michigan State and Michigan have joined as being hosts. I don't know the whole history of that, but I imagine what they bring in attendance and things in upping the guarantees, along with what Michigan Tech brings. Those are three really the best draws you can have for that area. But the GLI has been around as long as I've been following hockey, and it even has, even from myself not being from growing up in this area, I spent a lot of time here when I was younger with a lot of close friends and family and things, and it was, and the other side of it is Lake Superior, which was my community in Sault Ste. Marie, originally was a branch, a two-year branch of Michigan Tech. It was called Sault Tech. The original name, mascot name was the Hornets, the Sault Tech Hornets. And then they decided to turn into a college and became Lake Superior State College. And then around 1988 became Lake Superior State University, around the same time that Ferris State became a university as well. It used to be Ferris State College as well. So Coach McGinnis was really good, and he was legendary even over where we were, because there was no Northern Michigan at the time. There was no Lake Superior State University hockey at the time. So Michigan Tech represented the entire Upper Peninsula in hockey, and we're a powerhouse. I believe in 65 national champion, three national championships in that period where I was just starting myself personally to get ignited about hockey. So having ties over here, and on top of that, Coach McGinnis really giving Lake Superior some credibility when they were still an NAIA school by playing them and giving them games, incredible games. Again, now it'd be a butt kick, and it was, they were big scores when I was young. I remember listening to the games but we had some really good Michigan Tech players, from my area. Mike Zook, O'Connor, Lou Angotti. I mean, there were a lot of Sault Ste. Marie, Tony Esposito, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan players playing at Michigan Tech. Amadio was here. I remember there was one of the Amadios that was here. So, It was a filter here as well. So, and the GLI was part of that. That Michigan Tech was playing in the GLI. That was the biggest tournament, college tournament. That really put college hockey in a lot of ways on the map. So I would really, in any way possible, I would do everything I could personally to make sure that goes. We have to make sure that Michigan continues to want to be in it and doesn't, and that Michigan State and the people don't use this as an out. To say, okay, it's over with now. It doesn't have the same, doesn't mean the same for us that it means for you guys. Hopefully that doesn't occur.
Head Coach Joe Sean is with us answering your questions here today. And Coach, somebody sent in a question asking, do you have a favorite college player from when you were growing up, no matter what team?
I have a few, back in the Lake Superior days. There was a goaltender, who ended up being a very good friend of mine, but when I was really young, by the name of Don Muio. He was from Sioux, Canada. There was a defenseman at Lake State by the name of Tom Davies, who I thought was a tremendous player. And when I was in street hockey, I was always, I'm Tom Davies.
That's awesome.
So those guys come to mind. A guy by the name of Billy Sluage comes to mind. I mean, just like the kids here, I idolized the guys, the Laker players when I grew up. You went there, you waited after the game to get a hockey stick, they came and visited your school, and, there was no difference between them and Gordie Howe or Mickey Redmond or Ted Lindsay when I was growing up than the players, you know, those players. And they were winning championships, NAIA championships. So very similar to Ray Bryce growing up and idolizing, you know, so many players here, and then being able to be on that team was a highlight.
Next question for Coach is, you had talked about a couple of weeks ago that you were trying to get certain players going, be it Alec Bretzman, Tommy Paratino, those guys. Do you feel like they're starting to play the way they should be?
I do. I think we have, and I think we showed that we're starting to get good balance from our lines. We've changed things up a little bit, and we're getting much better compete, much better scoring chances. We generated offense in all different ways, virtually every way that you could, against Northern Michigan on the rush, neutral zone counters, offensive zone play, off the forecheck. You know, we had good power play chances in the limited power plays that we had. So I do think the guys are going, and really what's going on is they're getting their game together. Their offense is coming off of their, really off of their defense, off of their posture, off of their positioning, off of their compete, and we're creating offense off of that. So we're doing it the right way that'll give us hopefully lasting results going forward. Because really, you know, the goal is to score a lot of goals and not give up many goals. We don't want to just be, you know, you're watching the game yesterday again, that Canada-Slovakia game, and Slovakia played really good defense, but you could just see they weren't going to generate a lot of offense off of the way they were playing. We don't want to be like that. We want to generate it at one end and prevent it at the other end, and that's the type of game we're trying to play.
Next question for you, Coach, is with the break here after playing so well with three wins in a row, do you feel that's going to be tough to come off the break and play as well as you were in that last Northern Michigan game?
Time will tell. The mood's good. The locker room's good. The chemistry's good. Everybody's working hard. You know, there's good competition for ice time, and guys, there's not sulking or pouting. Guys are, you know, I think the message is that if you earn it, you'll get the opportunity. And so Huntsville had a break too. Everybody else had a break as well. So we'll get back at it and hopefully pick up where we left off.
Next question for you, Coach. This is the last one we have right now. Arvid Katara, the Swede, in his freshman year, how does he fit in with the rest of the guys in the locker room from what you're able to see?
I don't see any difference. Today's world, that's a crazy thing because the world is small now. You know, the world is small. Where I remember back in the Canada-Russia Summit Series, and you probably weren't even born then, Dirk.
But no, I was.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
What was it, 73 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Red Berenson, Esposito, Ken Dryden, Yvonne Cornwhite, Paul Anderson, all those guys. It was the first time, you know, you'd heard about the Russians, but you never knew. You know, they won gold medals. They were always, you know, how do they play? How will they play against the NHL? And it was a big deal. I mean, that went right down to the very last game where Canada won it on the very last day. And Russia was a little better, I think, than people gave them credit for, but it was still pulling for Canada. Right now, if I like the way a team plays, I pull for that team. No, I mean, it doesn't matter where they're from, Poland, Korea, it doesn't matter. If I like the way that they play, I pull for that team. You know, you could have Finland playing against the U.S., and if I really like the way Finland plays and their style and the makeup of their team, I'm pulling for Finland, you know, and it probably doesn't sound right. People are probably shuddering, but so the world is small. I don't think it matters anymore if you're from Sweden or whatever. No one looks at you as being different in any way. That's kind of our culture now. So I don't see him, you know, I don't see him any different than anybody else. He's got a great personality. He's always got a smile on his face, and I think guys like being around him.
Well, thanks for the questions, folks. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll have Coach comment on a little story from Charlie Eschbach, a former photographer at Michigan Tech, and was there traveling with the Michigan Tech hockey team and Coach McGinnis back in the heyday of the golden years, as they say, of the Michigan Tech hockey program, and has a cool little story that he told us last week. So we'll have that in just a moment here on the Joe Schaan Hour.
Fitness will always be about keeping a routine. And the best routines in life will always make time for enjoying yourself. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. They say, trust the process. But if enjoyment isn't part of that process, don't trust the process. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Bucko's Party Store is celebrating the 12 days of Christmas with the 12 packs of Christmas sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All Pepsi 12 pack cans are 2 for $10. For your mixers, all Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. See Bucko's amazing selection of booze, wine, and champagne. Keep things cool with nice ice prices, 4 bags for $5. Stay warm this winter with Keweenaw alpaca gear sold exclusively at Bucko's. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our New Year's special. The Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 Smart Bed is only $899. Plus special financing. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel. Language for life. Start the new year with a new language. Get up to 60% off now at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ, a show that is so important that it even rearranges practice times for the Michigan Tech hockey team. That's how important this Joe Schon Hour is. And, Coach, we appreciate you doing that for us today. So you had practice already, right? When we talked on the phone yesterday, you thought maybe after the Joe Schon Hour, but you did it before the Joe Schon Hour?
Yeah, we gave the guys the option, and we had testing this morning anyways, our COVID testing, so as soon as that was completed, we came down and got ready for practice and went out, yeah.
So Charlie Eschbach, we talked a little bit about, he's a great guy, local guy here, obviously, that was with Michigan Tech Hockey as a photographer for Michigan Tech University, and had some great stories that he's told us over the years, and I wanted to get some of them on tape to, you know, relay to the Michigan Tech fans out there. And one of the stories that he talked to me about last week was how when Michigan Tech was in Duluth, there were people there trying to woo John McGinnis away from the Huskies. And take a listen to this.
Christmas City of the North tournament in Duluth, when they invited us over, University of Minnesota Duluth was trying to recruit John McGinnis to come to leave Michigan Tech and be their coach. And, you know, that was when we walked in. When we got out of the bus to walk into the arena as a team, there was car dealers there tempting John with keys to cars. He was getting it, and he blew it. He said, "I'm here to coach a hockey team." He was totally frustrated that they had brought this out to the forefront, still trying to impress him and recruit him. That was, so the rest of that tournament, you know, he gave Dennis Hanks and myself, you know, instructions to, I don't want to talk to any of the Duluth press. You guys don't say anything about this whole thing. He was very, because he was such a humble man and maintained that class to where he was not going to come down to that level of recruiting. That was beyond, you know. So it was special to be a part of that.
I thought that was pretty interesting, Coach.
Yeah, that shows, you know, that fits every story that you hear about Coach McGinnis as well. Very true to, you know, to the laws of nature, to doing things the right way all the time, you know, to fairness. You know, I told that story before, you know, years back here about, you know, Mike Zook's a good friend of mine. He's you know, a tremendous player here, Hall of Famer, St. Louis Blues star, and he was coming home. He went home. Now, if you know the Zook family, humble means, dad Mike was a big hockey guy and was a postal worker, always bragged that he never missed a never missed a day of work because of hockey ever, and never missed hockey because of a day of work. But they had a practice getting ready for the GLI just after Christmas. So Mike Zook Sr. drove Mike Jr. out to the M28, off-ramp there, went across the bridge, drove down I-75, got him up by Cloverland there, the substation, and dropped him off there and at like 5 in the morning. And Mike Zook, the player, who was an All-American, arguably the best player on Tech, was hitchhiking back to catch practice that day at like 3 o'clock or something like that. Well, by the time he got all his rides and got back to Tech, he was 10 minutes late for practice and got benched. And Mike tells it two ways. Mike talks about how he was so upset feeling. What more do you want me to do? I'm out hitchhiking at 5 in the morning. We don't have, back in the day, you don't have multiple cars. You have one, and you're lucky if that one runs. But that was the law. Before they left, if you miss practice or late for practice, if you're not back on time for practice, you're not playing. And that, those things, that's not mean or unfair or anything. It's just everybody's treated the same, and everybody's treated with that respect. So it doesn't, these stories that you hear, I love to hear them about Coach McGinnis, but they don't surprise me. And I had the chance to meet him, and he was ill when I had the chance to meet him when he was recruiting me, and never let on in any way. And as a matter of fact, he had to cut my visit short, and Rick Yeo picked it up because he had to go get a dialysis treatment. And never, he was still professional and talking about hockey and about the team the following year. So extremely classy man. And you see his love for the community. Like Laura and I have developed, and, he raised his family here. His wife is still the first lady of Michigan Tech hockey here and at every event that we have. Just an incredible family.
Absolutely. We'll have more stories from Charlie as we go through the weeks here and during the games, but also here on the Joe Schaan Hour. One other question just came in, Coach. Would you prefer to know the entire playoff format now or wait until later in the season if there's going to be any adjustment to it?
Well, it'd be good to know it. It'd be good to know what we're, so we can, tie-breaking schematics and everything that's going on, so how to prepare, like how you're going to do things. It may differ in how you prepare for an overtime or what you do in different scenarios, but I guess everybody's the same, so you just kind of, we'll just go day to day.
Well, Coach, leading up to practices this week, you have one in already. Is there more emphasis early in the week on getting back in conditioning-wise, or instead of working on specific areas of the game? Or what's the plan? Game plan again, I guess, for the practices?
Yeah, it's it's consistent with what we do in the past. We try to first get back our conditioning and our compete level, gauge guys where they how they come out of the break, and then make sure that our compete level is good, because with competitive practices there's added in conditioning when you're doing a lot of one-on-ones and two-on-twos and things like that. So and then as the week goes on, we'll taper off on the combat drills and it'll be more read-oriented type stuff and more special teams type things.
Well, I would imagine, Coach, with the team playing very well right now, especially at Northern Series, come away with a sweep, and you have guys that are had some upper body injuries or whatever that were out of the lineup that had been playing, and now you have Tristan Ashbrook into the mix now. It must be some pretty good battles to try to get in the lineup.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been competitive. From every guy in the lineup is bringing the best they have. I can't say enough about the effort that Marcus Russell brings, every day, the guys that aren't getting in the lineup all the time and doing things that, the compete level that they're bringing to make us better, the character, the tremendous commitment to Michigan Tech hockey that they have. So, practices have been very good. We're practicing consistent. We're practicing hard. We're practicing with skill. Our guys are executing and we're working hard on our tactics. So, we know where we want to get to, and we're just kind of continuing on that path.
Not trying to take away from this week as far as nice to be home and nice to be at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, but this month coming up, one of the more grueling travel months for Michigan Tech. You have to go to Mankato, have to go to Ferris State, have to go to Bowling Green. There's going to be a lot of bus riding and whatever is going on as far as the travel plans for Michigan Tech, and I would imagine there's some forethought into that as far as making sure the guys are ready for those series.
Yeah, on the other side, the positive side of that is for a good portion of it, we're still on break. So and then when we get back, I believe it's virtual for the first, at least week, maybe week or so when they get back. So they'll be able to do a lot of things at their own pace, and it'll be up to the athletes to make sure they're getting proper recovery and things like that. So if it's going to happen like this, which it was going to happen like this, it was better to happen now, and then the second part of the eight games, or the last seven games or so, are more conducive to our home schedule and things like that. So all in all, I think I don't think it's bad the way the schedule is.
Well, Coach, thanks for rearranging the practice schedule around the Joe Schaan Hour here today. We do appreciate that. And I'm excited to see who is in the lineup this weekend. And we'll talk to you later in the week about that. But just excited about the games. I want to remind everybody that they are afternoon games, both Saturday and Sunday. The afternoon on Saturday will be a 4:07 start with a 3:30 pregame on Mix 93. And then on Sunday, a 2:07 drop of the puck with a 1:30 pregame on Mix 93 WKMJ, and we'll see who makes this tough-to-crack lineup right now for Michigan Tech hockey and against a very good Huntsville team that'll come in here ready to play. Coach, thanks again for your time. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a good week of practice, and we'll talk to you later in the week, okay?
Thanks, Dirk, and Happy New Year to all.
All right, that's Head Coach Joe Schaan here on Mix 93 WKMJ.